Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. How are you out there? Because we're doing great today. That's right. Edward is there. David is in this region, like on my shoulder. Guys, how are you? How are you feeling today?
Yeah, happy. Very, good. Very weird feeling.
Mm. Yeah, good to be back on the show. I hope you didn't miss me too much. Good result yesterday, about time. I think it's the first time I've ever been on and we've won, actually. So
that might be true.
Yeah. So happy days.
Yeah. Yeah, we missed you terribly, David. Edward put a segment on his channel, poetry. A nice long ballad about pining
is
for
that
David.
Top of the poems, he was sending me private messages as well, amongst things.
Nice. I love how Edward doesn't even just say anything about it. He just does the heart. Yeah. That's the way to get out of it, frankly.
He knows what we've got going on here.
All right. So,
don't tell anyone.
All right. So for all of you podcasters out there, the show looks a little bit different today, or it will sound a little different. So here's how it works. We're starting with a match reaction. So it is that part's similar, but then we're breaking the news up. All right, we'll be doing a little special on Big Sam. What if it's Big Sam? Because you know what, the news is kind of saying maybe it is. All right, so we'll dig into that deep, and then we'll get into Schneiderlin and Morales being kicked out of practice, kicked out of training. What do we think of that, and how do we think that's going to go? So we'll get into that too, and then after that, it's quiz time. Because it's always quiz time when international break rolls around, all right? So, yeah, we'll be working on some Everton squad numbers from 2000, all right? 2000 onward. Oh. So, yeah, so that's the lineup. So let's get into the big 3-2 win over Watford. Initial thoughts, guys. Your first feelings.
I think I twanged my hamstring when I celebrated that hard. Rit
stuff, that's what we like, Edward.
Yeah. Walking around Liverpool today just going, ow, ow, ow. How did I do that? Oh, wait, yeah, that'll be from jumping around yesterday after we won 3-2. That's my first thought, so I might pass it over to you.
Yeah, good win. Very, very, very big win. A 2-0, I couldn't see that happening. It was just a massive win. It's as simple as that. You know, I didn't know where we were going to go if we would have finished 2-0 there. There's so much on the game, on the pitch, off the pitch. It was a massive, massive game going into the international breaks. And I mean, that second half had everything, literally everything. You know, I'm pretty sure Sky were disappointed to be stuck with that 1-0 Chelsea Man United game when he found out what happened in the second half for Goodison. So just relief more than anything. Yeah. And it was that little bit of luck that we haven't had for weeks now. And people were saying, oh, you know, we were lucky yesterday. Well, yeah, we were, but we've been unlucky over the weeks that have come before it. So, yeah, I'm just buzzing.
For once, the ball bounced right for us.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had a few things to kind of go our way. Especially, I mean, how many times have we come on here and said, "What if they'd have called that PK? What if they'd have called that a foul?" Yeah, I said PK for you, buddy.
PK alert.
That was for you. So, but no, I mean, how many times have we said this kind of stuff though? You know, against Lyon, Schneiderlin's tackle ricochets off another guy and goes right to Traore, who has a walk straight into the goal. You know, how many bad bounces and crap have we had happen? So some lucky stuff was bound to happen at some point. But honestly, I'm also of the opinion that the harder you work, you kind of you make your own luck as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you put mm-hmm. yourself in a position to be lucky. You know, and I do think our team is working harder right now than they were when Koeman left, as a whole.
Yeah. Well, you know, when teams at the bottom, they say, oh, it just always goes against you. And when you're at the top, it always goes in your favour. And they're right, but as you said, you make your own luck. And, you know, you find those teams work a lot harder in games. And, you know, they might get that lucky own goal penalty, but what you don't see is the attacks that they're putting forward, you know, they're constantly on the offensive. And yeah, I totally agree with you on that one, to be honest.
Mm. I mean, I remember hearing, I mean, and let me preface this. Again, I don't like mentioning the lot across town, but they have a really attacking style of football, you know, and they have had for a while now. And a lot of people have lamented how many PKs they've gotten over the years. And at first, I know,
but I don't like it. Keep going.
But at the same time, look at how many attacks they're putting forward. They're putting themselves in a position to be fouled in the box, you know? And do I feel like they get the benefit of the doubt sometimes? Yeah, they do, you know? But when you're there to be fouled, well, you have a higher percentage of being fouled. You know, it's just kind of the way it is.
In it to win it and all that sort of thing, isn't it, really?
Mm. So, honestly, yeah, so they did not televise the game here in the States. They chose to play what was a bigger game or more exciting one than what they thought.
Bigger game.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? So, so I had to watch it on the computer. I paid for this NBC Gold package. So basically, I was watching around my computer. Everyone else in my house was asleep. Everyone watched the first half with me. It was 0-0. My wife went to sleep on one end of the couch. My 5-year-old's asleep. My 2-year-old's asleep. All of a sudden, second half starts, and I have to be quiet through that second half. Are you serious? Like, how? How could I? I'm balancing a laptop on my lap. My wife's on one end. I'm sitting there going... I can't even jump up. I can't even hurt myself like you did, Edward, because I can't move because I'll break my laptop. Oh, it was crazy, man. But you know what? I'm totally fine with not being able to scream as long as we win. You know, as long as we play, as long as we put ourselves in a position to make that happen. And honestly, Nias, dude, Nias.
What a guy.
Oh, I seriously don't understand why he doesn't get started all the time. Have your go. I mean, obviously, we'll go into it later with Morales and Schneiderlin. But if you want to epitomise, big word, epitomise the Everton way, Niasse.
Yeah.
That is just a perfect example. Didn't go his way. He didn't give up. He worked hard, got his head down, was humble, and now he's making it. I think he's one of our top goal scorers in the league.
He's joint top goal scorer now. I mean, in the league, anyway. The irony is, though, with it, people are still saying he's crap. And he might be, but I said yesterday, I'd much prefer to have someone who's crap scoring goals, working hard, than someone who's, on paper, a great player, but they're contributing nothing to the game.
Lukaku.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that Nias first goal, very similar to the Arsenal one a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was just all hard work, putting the back line and the goalkeeper, who just come on, putting the pressure, forcing them into what you could probably argue was an error, certainly by the goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what you want. A goalkeeper comes on into a match he hasn't played, it was his debut, put him under pressure, and that's what happens there. He's got another goal, and he did. He worked the socks off all day, and he is really. I mean, I've always wanted to give him a chance, and you know, it's being made a bit of a joke because of the articles I've done on him. But genuinely, I've given him a chance. He's not doing nothing wrong for me. We haven't got a goal scorer; he's scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it with him now is that if he has now got the perfect opportunity, because he's proven now that when he comes off the bench, he's scoring goals. When he's starting, now he's scoring goals. So, everyone's saying he's crap, but he's always made substitute appearances. He's all right, maybe he started against Burnley, but that was against Burnley, so everyone played pretty crap that day. We just need to give him a run of games, get his confidence, and then we will see if he's good or bad. Give him until maybe the end of this season, or if some people want to be really harsh on him, give him until January to prove himself. If he does, brilliant. If not...
Yeah, I think we all know, don't we, that he's not necessarily the best footballer. I think his touch isn't the best. And, you know, sometimes he can take it out of play from impossible angles, really. But a lot of the greatest goal scorers aren't great footballers. You know, the good goal scorers, and there is a difference. And if this guy's got the knack of scoring goals, then I mean, forget everything else. Let's try and bring someone in who can do, you know, the other stuff that he can't do well, and just have him scoring goals. It's that simple, I think. I agree, Jerry and Edward. I think he played very well yesterday. Arguably my man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be mine too. I mean, actually, we got a comment
as well
on your video yesterday, Edward. A guy named Terry Marr said, yes, COYB, what a fight back. Brilliant. That's what we've been crying out for. 2-0 down, never gave up. Nias was my man of the match. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Nias is like the poster boy for never give up. You know what I mean? I mean, think about what that guy has gone through. Think about what has happened to him. And it had been really easy for him to just go somewhere else for like, but he wanted to stay here. He wanted to figure out a way to make it work. Now, granted, had we brought in the striker, he would be at Palace right now.
Yeah,
you know, because he was there and apparently left there pretty pissed. But I mean, I'm psyched for the guy. I love seeing a story about someone who really should not be where they are, and they figure out a way to work hard and make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's a sort of similar story to the likes of Robles as well. I mean, all right, he's not doing as many games at the minute, but he's on the bench. He's showing he still has a love for the club. Mm-hmm. Last season, he waited probably about 3 seasons to get a decent run in the team, and when he did well. So, Andy wears his heart on his sleeve, which is something that you must absolutely love, because these two, Niasse, Robles, never went through the academy. They never went through the under-23s. They came and were bought by Everton and have been rotting away in the reserves for times, and they still want to play like they support the club and like it's a dream to play for. It's just...
Even though we probably agree Robles is never the number one, I am a big fan of his attitude. He always seems to want the club to do well, and you know, he's always supporting them, posting things on his Instagram, and it does make the difference, as Edward says, because you know, you do hold them in a high regard for doing so. So yeah, I agree.
There was something that I saw, I think it was on Facebook, where it said, if you play for the name on the front, the name on the back will be remembered more. Which...
I'll agree with that. I think
it's true.
What gets me with Nias, and I compare it to another striker we've had recently, all right? Let's say you've got a striker who's making a run behind the defense. Midfielder plays a through ball to them, and it's a little too hard. And it looks like it's going to go out of bounds, okay? The striker we've had recently, I believe, stops running, turns around, and starts going back the other way, assuming the ball's going to go over the inline. All right?
Yeah.
I think Nias continues to sprint until he's made sure it's gone out, because you never can tell. If the grass is a little thicker over there, it could slow down. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why you don't quit. And that's the thing that just kills me about it. Nias never quits on the ball, and I know for a fact... our previous number 10 didn't really want to keep running for those, because he almost felt like he was too big for the situation. So he didn't want to not look cool, you know?
Yeah, he would, as you said, he'd be already criticising the person who's played the ball that was too heavy, rather than, as you said, chasing it down. But that's just, I mean, that's just a testament to Niasse and a kind of an idea of the type of person Lukaku is. And I, for one, I'm taking a lot of enjoyment in the last few weeks where the media is starting to get on his back a little bit, because he's always hid behind this excuse of, you know, Everton small club mentality, you know, negative tactics, this and that.
No, fairness, he was right.
Yeah, but you say that, he's at Manchester United now, who he's saying this great club, they go out to win every game. I think aren't that isn't the case.
Yep.
No, they... Yeah. He went held on for a draw at Anfield. He'd been beat at Chelsea. At his records, even now, is crap against the top six side. So
only just won against Spurs as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think
he didn't score. I know he got an assist in there, but he didn't score again, did he? So I think it's sweet.
I think there's two people I just want to say quickly. Baines, when he scored, don't think I've ever really seen him celebrate like he did there.
I heard people say that.
The way he celebrated looked like he cared. And he broke the record as well.
Yep.
Did you see that at the end with Unsworth, when they were just shaking hands and saying, well done, he was just like, you got my record. And then the other person, Luckman.
Yep.
Luckman just changed it completely. Soon
it was
as
his through ball for Neos. People know exactly. Nobody's mentioning that ball that he played for Neos, curling around to where Neos... Now, Neos had to run hard to make it happen, but it was a perfect ball.
Pickford's as well. When it went basically across the pitch and Neos nearly scored the next one.
Yeah.
As well. That was just incredible. That's showing he can be good. Everyone's getting on his back because he can't kick a ball right. Well, he can.
Yeah.
So... I have a few questions here. Let's address these quickly because we've been on for a while on this. We have to address some of the negatives really quick. Did the goals they scored reveal any kind of weaknesses or emphasize any weaknesses, guys?
No. Lack of pace.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
But I was about to say, but you said the word I would have used. It didn't reveal anything that we didn't already know. Right. It just emphasized our issues. Mm. I have to say... I thought the two centre-backs were terrible yesterday. Mm. I thought Jagielka didn't play well. I thought Keane didn't play well. I suppose Keane's been out for a little while and Jagielka hasn't played that great. But, yeah, I didn't think either of them played well yesterday. And
I thought they did okay. Obviously, the two goals that we conceded, Jagielka was at fault for the corner one, jumping too soon. Keane got spun way too easily. Both of them, like you say... Both of them have just come back into it, like you've said, so give them the benefit of the doubt with that one. I actually thought, though, at times, they rescued it for us. They did save us a couple of times, putting in some decent tackles, getting rid of the ball away from Watford, and I thought they did okay. But, obviously, our fault for two goals, but need to give them a bit more time with it. Pickford had a bit of a mare, though, you have to admit. Pickford did have a bit of a mare. That wasn't his best game.
He's making some rash decisions that usually come with not trusting your defense.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's it. I think...
It's just run of confidence. That's all we need.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So basically, the defense is not solid yet, you know, but so that's... But we already kind of knew that. So nothing new really revealed, right?
Yeah, I think the main issue with that is that we've got three centre backs who all aren't playing well and quite low on confidence. If we just had one solid centre back at the moment who had a good run in the team, I think that would kind of spread to the other two. So hopefully they come into a bit of form over the next couple of weeks.
I feel like Keane.
When he comes back.
Keane, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Keane will be the guy. And you're talking about Funes Mori. Let's hope he just comes back healthy. That's all I'm worried about for him to start. You know. But I feel like Keane, when he's back, I just like him. I think he's a solid player. I think he's a way better passer than I imagined he would be. I think when he was starting to hurt, he gave the ball away a lot. When you go back to when they told you when his injury started, he was giving the ball. Yeah. We talked about it several times on the show, how we were surprised at how he was giving the ball away. Not as much yesterday, though, which is good. Next. What was your favorite of our three goals?
Then the Ass one. I think it just came at a real important time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was only a few minutes after their second. I think if we would have, it would have been maybe 10 minutes onwards, we wouldn't have come back into that game. And just not to repeat our previous points, but just the sheer determination to get there.
The fact that he was crawling along like that, basically to get the ball in the back of the net.
Dude, you see what I've got back there? Because it legitimately looked like it kind of came off of his arse, which is nice. I love that. Only people who bust their arse score with their arse. Just saying.
Yeah.
My favorite. I did like the Calvert-Lewin one.
Hmm?
The fact that we managed to score a set piece corner. And Baines was back on it. Baines was back on the delivery on it, which was something I was so happy to see. All right, Sigurdsson's good.
It's the corner of the game.
I know.
Really?
And we scored it.
Yeah.
And they got it on camera as well. Go check it out, Matchday Vlog, on my channel, because that was incredible. I was so happy with that moment.
Nice. So,
instant plug.
I will I will agree. I think the first one was my favorite. I'll agree with David on that. I know, Edward, you said it was nice, but I think you also said you liked the second one. First one, just because it's a lot of what I love about football. You know, it was an intelligent, smart pass, somebody being unselfish, and someone just working as absolutely the sheer determination, like you mentioned, hard work. That's just some of the stuff that I like the most about the sport, you know, and it epitomized in that one play. That was my favorite one. I was not expecting us to agree on that, so that's cool.
I did like the fact that at the end on the third goal, we were saying about his determination for the club. Still celebrates with the fans.
Yeah.
He still does. Like, even after the group hug had ended it and all of them were going back, he turned around and just went, yes, into the crowd. No, it was Niasse. Well, Baines obviously did when he scored, but Niasse did as well, which was just class.
So
just on that third goal quickly, it was good that he managed to get that, because if you remember, there was about 2 minutes of stoppage time where the player stayed down injured. They announced 12 minutes of injury time. And you know yourself, the pressure there is unbelievable when he knew how important that was as well. Yeah, and he's had a lot of stick, hasn't he, this season, Baines? And and he missed a good chance in the first half as well, where it just looked really low on confidence. Shout out to Leighton Baines. We still love you, bud.
Yeah.
I've met him. He's a nice guy. Very nice guy.
Oh, stop it with your real life encounters, both of you. Oh, my gosh. I met Muggsy Bogues. What do you guys think about that? You don't know who that is, do you?
There's a video you should watch. It's about maybe 4 or 5 years old now, and it's where Leighton Baines injured, and he's going to a pre-season game against Blackburn, and he picks up a gang of Evertonians on the side of the road and drives them there, and they're recording it. I mean, some of the stuff they come out with is just outrageous, considering
it's all
different. But look out for it, mate. You'll have a laugh at that.
I'll look that up. That sounds awesome. So I got two more questions. I'll make them fast. Yes or no, is this the turning point / most important game of the season? Edward, you want to lead?
I said that in my vlog, yeah.
Yeah?
I think it is. This could be it.
David?
This could be it. You know, this could be us getting top four, like I said, boys.
I don't want that to come back and bite us on the ass. But certainly most important game. Yeah, most important game.
I will agree. I don't know that we're going to have a more important one than that. Do we feel like the win changes anything for Unsworth, guys? Is Unsworth going to stay in because they perform?
I think he's going to get a little bit longer, if I'm honest.
I still want somebody else, but I'm glad that he got his win.
I am thinking that we are going to have a new manager within a week. I just think it's going to happen. I think they'll... Do what?
Who?
We'll talk
That's
about that in the next
video, eh? All right.
Yeah.
So
what did they?
So
yeah.
The little plug next video.
Yeah.
Here's some Unsworth comments. Calvaboy 89 says he would like to have Unsworth as the manager. He used the younger talent and we played well with the youth in the squad. That's something Kuman never did, which is true. Matthew Douglas, I guess it's Douglas Elliot Matthew, the man with three first names, says no. He doesn't think Unsworth should be the manager. His reason being that 1 in 3 games ain't good. Some may say he needs time to get into it, but at the moment we can't wait for him to gel with the team. Also, the way he wants to play, we can't do that with the amount of old people we have in the top, you know, in the squad. High pressing, they'll be running on fumes come halftime, which is.
Tell you what,
valid.
If he's called them, if you call them old, Jerry's feeling ancient over there.
I am literally just, you know, poor. Yeah, got me a walker, and I'm. Oh man, guys, lastly,
these ruddy kids getting on their
get off my lawn,
my back position.
So Graham ER, so that may be Grahammer. 1878 says, no, he's not the man for the job. How do we attract players with the Unsworth name? He's come in and helped, and that's good for him, but as for the job permanently, it's a no from me. So I think it's going to be pretty well... Oh, and there was also a poll that the Toffee Blues did on this Would you give Unsworth the job permanently? Yes was 17%. 83% said no, we need better. So, that is...
I think that's a bit harsh, that saying better.
I agree, but that's where they fell.
I think... to be honest, I want to just quickly say about Unsworth, fair play to him. I think the way he's treated it, he hasn't said, I want this job, I want to have it. But,
yeah, he's...
But not in that way that I'm going to get this thing, I'm going to do it.
He hasn't presumed it is.
Yeah.
He hasn't, he's just said, if I get it, I get it, but I don't care as much. I care about the club going forward, and if I'm not the man for it, I wish the next one all the best, which...
Yeah, and he said he'll support the new manager, you know? It's, exactly. I feel like Unsworth has said almost all the right things.
Because he knows he'll get his job if he gets sacked.
So I guess that's...
Let's hope not, though. I don't want that to happen, though.
So I guess that's...
just to clear that up.
That's it for our match reactions. We were positive, people. You heard it here first. Positive reactions. Good
the
things.
World must be ending.
Good things for Blues fans. It's a great time to start watching an Everton fan channel and listening to the podcast. All right, so
if you know any good ones, do let us know.
Please tell us that we're into it. Okay, we're constantly seeking those. So over the weekend, there were rumblings about our new manager. All right. ITKs came out of the woodwork and said Sean Dyche is our guy. He's going to be.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything? Well, I missed it.
No.
But there were other people that said Dyche.
Hardcore fans all know that reference.
They said Dyche is going to be confirmed by Tuesday and that he's our guy. All right, and so that I thought we were going to be doing a Dyche video right now. All right. However,
were you hoping we'd be doing a Dyche video right now?
Yeah, I'll admit, but. Since then, we've heard new rumblings. I know Dominic King came out today, this morning. I woke up to this news saying that Big Sam, he's now the front runner for the job. He's already met with Moshiri, and he kind of thinks that's going to happen. Probably bring in Craig Shakespeare with him. All right. So, guys, we're calling this segment If It's Sam. Because
if it's Sam.
Because you know what? It's starting to look like it is going to be Sam, guys. So if it's Sam, on a scale from 1 to 10, how disappointed are you?
Which way is it? Which way is it? I'm not getting called out again.
That's a good question. How disappointed are you? It means 10 would be the most disappointed.
Ah, I caught you out this time.
No, it's with the wording.
I disagree with those rules, I have to say. Maybe in America that's how they do it, Jerry, but over on the side of the pond it should be the other way.
Every single
time that pond, we're in the same room.
Yes, other side of the room. No, yeah. Every time you guys disagree with me, you guys just look over at me and you're like, hey, we don't do it that way in England.
Yeah. Right. It's the American card that gets played, and there's no comeback, so
there's not. I will totally give in to that every time and just hang my head in shame and be like, you guys are right.
Right, so disappointed 10. I don't want it. The only thing I will say with regard to Dominic King's tweet, even if they have met, which they might not have, we don't know for sure, but even if they had, I imagine that would have come before yesterday's results, and we all agreed really that yesterday was kind of a make or break either way. Mm-hmm. It felt like would have lost, Allardyce would have been the yes. If we won, which we did, he probably wouldn't be. So that's me clinging on to some hope there.
Edward, how about you, man?
See, to be honest, the whole thing I see with Allardyce, I don't want him, but if we get into the situation where we have to have him or we need someone like him, then I'd be a bit more open to him because he's never been relegated. He's actually got people into the top six before. He's not really been proven with big budgets or anything like that. But some of the things he's wanting, I think it's like a 3-year deal. He wants $5 million a year, or at least, and more bonuses if we don't get relegated or anything like that. So, No. I don't want him, really.
One out of 10.
10.
10.
That means very disappointed.
You're right. See, that's the rules, David. So I'm
just following it by how we're doing it.
Yeah, you're right. So I'm gonna go against the grain and say 8.
I thought you were going to say 1.
For 2 reasons.
I'm going to change it back again.
No,
guys, one thing I will say, and just before you give your thing, because it may influence your decision, Jerry, okay? Sam Allardyce was actually relegated in 97 with Notts County, I'm sure.
We'll get that
certified, but I'm pretty sure he has got a relegation on the CV.
Dave,
to Opta.
See, this is just typical David reaching into the past to grab out any skeletons he can find and show them to the world. That's it.
Yeah. Need a lot of strength to hold out Sam's skeleton, then.
So, that is one beefy skeleton, folks. So I'm still going to say 8, and here's why. It was not going to be because he's not relegated, okay? Because I think there are some managers who have been relegated who could do a job. You know, I still think that. I think one relegation is not, that's not the end-all, be-all for me. It's what you did
well,
in the other years.
Well,
Dyche
has been relegated twice, hasn't he?
Yeah. Has it twice? At least once, I knew that. Definitely twice?
Yeah, because he came up, I think it was like in the 2013-14 season he came up, went down the next season, came back up. I think he went down again, I'm not too sure. I think he's been down twice. Because Keane got player of the championship, I think, or some in that year, and then they came up and then stayed up since.
Gotcha.
I think.
So,
I'm not too sure.
So here's my Allardyce. Initially, I will say it's the most disappointing name that I could come up with. I'm just gonna say it. I am disappointed. I was expecting something a little bit more exciting. All right. You see on Twitter people saying that he's mates with Joe Royal. And he gave him, like, recommendations and whatnot. Apparently, there are reasons why he's getting this job. But I went back and I started looking at Big Sam's, the way Big Sam has set up his teams in the past. And, his lineups are a little bit less rigid than I thought, okay? I went back and I checked it out. And what it was, one of his first purchases for West Ham was what, Andy Carroll?
Yeah.
Andy Carroll and was it Stuart Downing, I think. And so immediately what he did was he bought a player that could finish late in the game, and he purchased a player that could put in decent, you know, crosses. And after the fact, he's lamented the fact that Carroll's always been hurt and everything. However, that's sort of exactly what Koeman wanted to do, right? I think that what Koeman was trying to begin doing, I feel like Allardyce understands what Koeman wanted to do, and I think what he's doing is he's pitching to the board and everybody else. I think what he's doing is pitching and saying, I can finish what Koeman was trying to start. You know, I thought Sam always did like 4-4-2, and that was all he ever did. I took a look, and he's got some formation flexibility. Some games he'll run 4-3-3, some games he'll do 4-4-1-2-1-2. You know, it's he plays around and he does adjust based on his personnel. And I like the fact that he can adapt around personnel. You know, you'll see him with a big target man one game, and then he'll go with 3 quick guys across the front. There is some flexibility with it. Now, he always says, I'm going to play beautiful, attractive football, and then it becomes boring, paint drying, defensive, park the bus kind of stuff. But I just don't think it's as bad once I started researching. I didn't feel as bad as I did before. I still feel bad. So, guys, what do you predict from a Big Sam Everton?
Depression. I mean, I get what you're trying to make. And I'm not going to try and argue against it because you've done more research than I have on his tactics. But you know, I look at his CV, it's West Ham, Bolton,
Sunderland,
yeah.
Crystal Palace, Blackburn,
I know.
Notts County, mentioned them before, I think he had a stint with Preston, and then Everton. who by, I mean, no wonder he's plugging himself for this job. It'd be the biggest job he's ever had. Probably the only one closest to it, Newcastle. But he didn't do well there. It only lasted, he didn't last long. I can't remember that. Yeah.
No, fairness, it wasn't his fault. It's just fans didn't like him.
Yeah, well, it'll be the same at Everton.
The
fans aren't going to get on board with this appointment at all. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen me put the stats out today, but the 11-12 season.
I saw this. I
didn't. Go on. Keep going.
So, 11 games, Everton had 10 points on the board, and he finished 7th that season. You know, we played 11 games this season, and we've got 11 points, so that's one more point than what we had then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can still have a really good finish this year if we turn it round. And I feel the only reason Allardyce is getting linked with this job is fear of relegation. Everton aren't going to get relegated. It's as simple as that. If someone...
Don't let that come back to bite you.
No, I believe it. Everton don't do relegation. It's why we haven't been... We've only been relegated 3 times in our history and I've been relegated for around 60 years or whatever it is. And we've been a lot worse than what we are now. So, and you know, in August, if someone would have said to you, Sam Allardyce is the favourite for the Everton job, you literally
laughed
out the room. It's as simple as that. And so it's, I think it's... They talk about panic buys in the transfer market. I think it's almost like a panic manager. And I think you just... Take these few days to just settle back down, have a look at the table, see see what's out there. Hopefully he'll just be pushed to one side.
See, I think as well, the whole attitude, I think we've said it before, but the whole attitude with it is if Sam comes in for this, if Allardyce comes in, we're giving up on getting the top six. I know it sounds harsh, but we're giving up on the top six in that kind of manner. Because you, like you say, Dave, the amount of teams he's managed, Sunderland, Palace, Newcastle, to name a couple, have all needed a manager to get them out of relegation. Sam has come in to do that, but they've not really gone much further than that. And
probably the only one that goes against the grain is Bolton in the North. They obviously got into Europe and stuff, but you know that didn't last long, and it did just feel like they were really overachieving, didn't they?
Mm. I mean, in all fairness, he did say to them, I can't go any further with this squad if I don't get the money for it. He has got the money for it now, but I don't know. It just, something about it is, we do that, we're aiming low for the season, and it will just be a very, very long season. And I personally would rather have David Unsworth in, because at least he knows how to get with the fans.
Yeah.
And you know, I think if you asked me before today, I would have said I'd rather have Unsworth than Allardyce. Right now, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence between the two. Just because I like the fact that Allardyce has experience. I do like that, you know? But I don't want to disguise this, guys. Just because I'm saying positive things, all right? It is the manager I might have. It's not the most negative reaction, but it's really close, all right? Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking hard to find something to cling to if he's our manager, because I want to support him. I want to have some hope. I really do. Okay, so if Big Sam comes here, guys, what's his starting lineup look like?
Oh, God, don't do this.
What's
to
his
me.
Formation? I'm serious. I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Has he got the kind of plays that he'd want at the moment at Everton? I don't know.
Well, it's...
I don't know. I couldn't answer that. I think he'd be traditional 4-4-2 and have Rooney off the striker.
So, he likes to do one kind of main defensive mid, kind of shielding, and then a lot of times he'll have a defensive-ish kind of midfielder, you know, and then a more offensive... See, a lot of times he does run 3 center mids, all right? So essentially we could be talking about Davies, Banningimi, and Gay.
Not after the last game for Davies, after the last one.
But you might see that, or you might see Sigurdsson instead of Davies. That was the next thing I was going to say, all right? He liked to roll a lot when he was with Sunderland. He started 7 straight games. He started... hold on. Let me get the... He started Jan Kirchhoff, all right, at the defensive mid, Jan Mvila, and Lee Cattermole. He started those three at center mid 7 straight games for Sunderland. All right, and the only one
who did they win them all?
And the thing is, he did well when he was with Sunderland. To be honest,
yeah, but we saved his season. We saved the season for them. In all fairness,
by getting our ass handed to us when we played them.
By giving up,
Martinez. Yeah. But Yanem Vila is really the only one that has any kind of decent offensive. You know, Cattermole's a decent passer, but it's a really defensive-minded, physical middle three. So it looks like I think he would go for physicality. You know?
Yeah, I'm just. I'm having a look at these Sunderland results that he had, and I mean, there's a lot of draws in there that he had. There's a lot of draws.
And I think that's what he's going to do. Is going to try to play for draws for a while.
Yeah.
I really do. If he's our guy, which he might not be.
We do need points. We do need guaranteed points.
Yeah, we were talking about it last time, David, when you weren't here. I'm kind of seeing whoever we bring in, we're going to be trying to get a lot of one goal wins and draws. Until we can buy striker and get some more help, you know. I think Sam is really going to love Ross Barkley when he's back. If Sam, it could be one of the things Sam is really pushing out there, is he wants Barkley to be one of the main players for him, you know, because he likes physical players, and Barkley is that, exactly that.
Well, sign him up.
You know?
No, I'm joking.
So, I don't know, but...
Barkley could be a big thing.
I don't know if this
thing.
Is coming across to you lads, but I'm just struggling really to get on board with...
I know, no, you don't have to get on board. Way. That's not the...
Yeah.
The point is to... We have to start... Because this is a possibility.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say this is one of our... This is about a 50% chance right now, wouldn't you say?
Potentially, yeah.
You know?
Potentially.
So the point is to think, how do we adjust our brain around this? How can we actually, especially in a moment of positivity, because something else, guys, something that really pissed me off, all right, is Mashiri came out, and let's be honest, I don't like to say sacrilegious things about our Lord and Savior Mashiri, but just saying, he came out and said, I think it was yesterday, or he told Jim White, maybe that's who it was, he said, whoever we hire, we're trying to hire a manager for the next 5 years. How do you say that with a straight face if you're going to hire Allardyce? How do you actually say that? You want Allardyce for 5 years?
In all fairness, right? In all fairness, I was speaking to this about with someone at the ground yesterday, and we said, I actually think Ken Wright is going to be one of those, he's wanting safety for the season. Mashiri is wanting a big target for the season.
Very true.
So he wants glory, Ken Wright wants safety. Now, in all fairness, both of them care about the club and want them doing well. So... Ken Wright is wanting either a Dyche or an Allardyce, someone with Premier League experience that can win us games, draw us games, get us points, get us safety. Mashiri wants to put in a risk. He wants to get a big name in so we can get big, basically, like, get the business going up a bit higher. So I'm a bit on the fence for going either approach. I don't really want Allardyce, but I don't feel like we're going to be getting the biggest names that Mashiri wants. It's just a bit in the middle with it.
There's a rumor that Mashiri wants Silva, and that's his choice. But getting
in fairness, I wouldn't mind him.
I saw somebody put that out on Twitter earlier today, and I mean, I remember when I said I really like Silva. I remember David's exact reaction was he looked straight through the little webcam and goes, "Why?" Yep. And I was like, "Wait, I didn't think it was that bad of an opinion." Shit.
it's not, but. You know, if Everton beat his team yesterday, so they can't beat that close.
Luckily.
Yeah.
What I did find really impressive with Silva was Watford had just been pulled back from a 2-0 lead to 2-2. And I said to my mate next to me, I said, if this was Everton, they'd just shut up shop away from home and just try and hold on now.
Yep.
But Watford was still on the front foot for a lot of the game when it was 2-2. So I'd like that in the manager. But I just think he's another flavour of the month. And
it might be.
He still needs to prove something for me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah.
See, I think the whole thing as well with the manager, with this team at the minute is it could make any manager look bad, to be honest. If you look at the key players we're missing, we're missing a big main striker, although Niasse could be the man, you know, you never know. We're missing Barkley, we're missing Coleman, we're missing Funes Mori, we're missing a left back to cover for Baines if he ever gets injured. So we're missing some key players. So when they come back, then I think we might see a different thing. Plus as well, Barkley might actually want to play for someone like Unsworth. He might not want to do it under another manager. Same with a lot of the other players.
I don't know. Barkley might want to play under anybody that's not Koeman. So, I mean, really, it's very clear that he...
Yeah, but to play for an Everton legend like Unsworth, I'd love that.
I think Barkley would love that too. I agree.
We'll see.
So,
we'll see.
Two more quick questions because we gotta hurry up. What is Everton's ceiling or and floor with Big Sam in charge?
What do you mean?
Okay, so what's the worst we think we could do with Big Sam? Like, I don't think we'll get relegated if Sam's our manager. I don't think we will. I think our floor would be about 15th or 16th place in the table.
Right. Early exit from the FA Cup as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this whole ambition of trying to be one of the big clubs again would just go completely and utterly out the window.
Totally true. Totally true.
If anyone sees that we've had investments and we're meant to be, you know, going back to the big time, as we call it, and then, you know, we're trying to attract players in the future, and they see that after all this, we then employ Big Sam.
Yeah.
No chance.
I know.
No chance.
The guy who, like, got sacked or left jobs like Palace in England too soon.
Such a strange decision. It is so strange. But the ceiling means the best he could do, and I'm going to say 8th is the best he would do.
12th.
10.
Ah, you split the difference, David. That's smart. That's good. So
just anything to just stop talking about Big Sam. To be honest, I'm having palpitations here. I'm just cold sweat.
we figured out that David needs to take a Benadryl or something because he's allergic. He's allergic to Big Sam chat.
Allergic to that dice.
So, just watch him get bloated up in a minute.
Lastly, how long is he, if he is on? How long do you think he'll last? I would say one season.
I reckon he'd get two, at least, or three. He'd get what he want.
See, I think the only way he'd come in, they'd say to him, "You've got till the end of the year. If it is panic over relegation, keep us up. But then we're going to go and bring someone else in and start again."
Yeah.
But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He doesn't want it. He'd want to come in and prove himself, so...
Money to give him? If they say to him, "Here's 6 million for 8 months' work or whatever."
Bloody hell.
He is a money guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a scandalous allegation, Jerry.
Ooh.
I mean, I didn't mention anything about how he got his money.
Ooh.
I would say there are a lot of money guys out there. You know, but that's
we just don't need any of this, do we? Just
yeah, I know.
We need someone just like that can bring a bit of positivity.
Well, it kills
Unsworth for the season.
It kills a lot of the hope bringing Big Sam in. It does seem like it does that. You know, talking to you guys, I feel like we're a pretty decent cross section of Evertonian fan base, and none of us are excited.
Oh no, I am. I am so far the other end of the spectrum. Like, this would be the worst I'd felt as an Evertonian if we got Big Sam. That might sound extreme, but it's...
Going to social media, so for some fan thoughts on Allardyce, Jack K. 1992 says, "Please, please, please, no." Okay. Neil McGill 85 says, "Crazy if he comes in. Better out there. Won't be happy. He will put us back years." And lastly, Reese_Owen14 says, "Better not come. And anyway, why not Unsworth?" So a lot of thoughts that are echoing exactly what we've been saying. We hear you and we agree with you. Fan thoughts.
Yeah.
So, Edward is completely as displeased as he can be. David is also cannot be more displeased. In fact, he's nauseous and getting hives at the thought of this. Me, I'm having some discomfort, but it's not going to keep me out of work. All right? Just saying. All right? So
I don't have any work to go to. How do you think I feel with it?
Edward, I feel like we need to give you a hug via the internet for that comment. You know, I'm like, oh, you're employable. Come on, man.
I can't even cry. My voice is divorced.
All right, so everybody who is listening out there, that is our Big Sam chat. You heard Edward there? He really, really needs you to check out his YouTube channel. JME James, check out the details below, all right, folks?
Also check out his CV online as well.
Yes!
I'm going to get offers from everywhere.
His skill set and his list of hobbies is just, it's staggering. I got
a job offer from someone from Devon, on the other side of the country.
It's a nice part of the world.
Yeah, but for 6 hours to get there and back, no thanks.
So if there's any jobs out there that require someone who can juggle and likes romance novels, Edward is your guy. All right?
Twilight, favorite book of all time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right. You might have noticed on Sunday, there were two distinguished gentlemen who were not in our squad. All right?
Oh.
One being Morgan Schneiderlin, the other being Kevin Morales. Now, these are two senior players with some talent. And frankly, last time we saw Morales on the field, he actually looked pretty good when he was playing, all right? So, not really the same thing for Schneiderlin. He kind of, you know, got himself kicked out of the game. So, apparently, the word on the street, because I'm your guy on the street, is Duncan Ferguson was running a training session, and they weren't taking it seriously. So, they got kicked out. That's all I know. I don't know if you guys know anything else about
Get
this.
Get out, ladies.
I know about an hour before we started filming, Schneiderlin put a tweet out saying that the reports of whatever it was that happened in the paper are just not true.
Wow.
And he's committed to the club, to the fans, and wants them to do well and this kind of thing. So he's denying it. But, I mean, there's no smoke without fire with these things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you being left out, though?
Well, so, there's something... See, what's the whole thing that's gone on with it? Like, why are they putting in the lack of it? I know Morales put up on, like, his Instagram story or something, thank you for your kind messages, it's been a bit of a hard time for me recently. Maybe that was his lack of effort or something. We just don't know. Like you say, there's no smoke without fire, but... We don't know the things that go on behind closed doors, so we can't make assumptions that it's a lack of effort just because the papers say, or these tweets say. There could be other reasons.
It is interesting that they would just kind of pick up this story and run with it
exactly.
Without any kind of source. You know what I mean? Like that's, I know. When it's transfer season, this kind of shit happens all the time. Where it's like, oh, we heard that they're going to be signing Yarmolenko, and it's definitely happening. And
three times in the running.
Yeah, we've been sent on that merry-go around a few times.
Jeez, I feel like we know that guy so well.
It's just annoying though that now he's doing really well at Dortmund.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Anyway. But so number one, with Morales, all right. I feel like he's had fallouts frequently with managers, though. You know what I mean? Mm. This is not the first time he's had some issues with. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's involved in some kind of disagreement with management right now, especially if he thinks it's temporary. If he and Schneiderlin have the attitude like it's a substitute teacher. You know, like, hey, we don't have to take this seriously.
Spitballs.
There's going to be a new manager coming in soon. Yes, spitballs is a great way to say it. That's exactly what they were doing. You know, if it was true, and it's not a surprising thing, considering the fact that Morales has not been playing often, and Schneiderlin, I mean, some actually thought that maybe he had gotten himself kicked out of the game on Thursday on purpose. You know, which was, I don't think that necessarily, but I don't know, man.
The way he did it was stupid, but...
It was just a ridiculous... Yeah, his fouls were dumb, you know?
Idiot.
So that's the question here, guys. Let's pretend like this is true, okay? Is it a lack of respect for the club or just the fact that Duncan Ferguson was running the session?
Bit of both, maybe. No.
You've got to have it. Disrespecting whoever's running the session is disrespecting the club.
Agreed.
At the end of the day, they're the one who are taking the sessions and representing the club. So, either way, not good enough.
I mean, I don't see them as people that would disrespect the club. Maybe in that circumstance they probably did, fair enough. But I think it seems a bit like Morales earlier would have been, earlier on when he first came to Everton, would have probably been a bit like, who cares? But it feels like since the fans chant his name, he cares about the club enough. Schneider looks like quite a professional guy, maybe not by the sound of this, but something like, it doesn't sit right with me. Maybe Fish and Island, but Morales, I'm not. I don't know. I just don't like making these kind of assumptions and that. But if it's true, it is disrespectful. But I'm sure they've been pulled up on it. Maybe Ferguson said something that they didn't agree with, and that was what got them a bit arsy. But we don't know. We don't know.
I'm a little bit on the other side. And Schneiderlin, maybe just because how long he's been here, I'll give him a little bit longer. But Morales, I'm done with Morales now, to be honest. You know, I've had a look at his record recently, and I just don't think he does enough to warrant anything. Yeah, it's that man. He's played 10 times this year. He hasn't scored or assisted anything, although he has played all right in some games. But I worked out over his 5 years, he's got a goal, one in every 5 games, which on the surface doesn't look that bad. But he does go missing a lot of the season, really. And if you put the 1 in 5 over the season, you know, it's not a lot at all, really. Not a great return. So I think he needs to go. I think he is a bit of a bad egg, which is why he's fell out, as you said, Jerry, with 4 managers.
Mm. So, I agree. If you're disrespectful during training, period, it's, I don't know, man. At a time where the team need your focus, at a time where everyone should be locking down and everybody trying desperately to get on the same page.
Mm.
I mean, that's people who are, if this is true, if it's true, that's people not buying into the program. And really, I mean, I know we miss Lukaku's goals, but honestly, did he ever really buy into Everton? Regardless of what he says about us. I don't know that he did. You know, he was constantly talking about how he wanted to leave and everything. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if Morales feels the same way. I don't know about Schneiderlin. I don't know enough about him. He's only been here for a little while. You know,
the thing that pisses me off really with it is he's a good player, Morales. He's a very good player on his day.
I like him a lot,
but it doesn't happen enough. I want him to stay. I do want him to stay. I think he's a really good player, but just got to see this different thing. Because I think actually in the season that Martinez's first season, he did a lot of games. They did quite well, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He did all right.
Yeah.
It was probably his best season. But that was when he was given a run of games. So it's a bit like the thing with Niasse. People saying he's a crap player, but he's not been given a good run of games. Since then, Morales wasn't really given enough, in all fairness. So,
I don't know. There's differing philosophies on this. If your best players are having attitude issues, all right, there's some certain philosophies that say you get them out and you make them adapt around your system. And if they don't adapt, they're out. Then there's other people that take the more man management philosophy and think that you adapt around your best players to try to figure out how to massage the talent out of them and get the results. All right. What type of club are Everton? Because it seems like before we had Martinez who was adapting around the players. And then we had Koeman who is saying, listen to me or get out. What kind of club should Everton be?
I think it'll depend on our next manager, won't it? As you said, that's been two different ends of the spectrum in two managers, hasn't it? So I don't know. I feel like if Morales, I do acknowledge he's a good player, by the way. But if Morales deserved that, then I think we would kind of build the team around him. But he just doesn't do it enough when he gets his opportunities or his runs in the side. So I don't think he warrants that kind of behaviour. Where someone like me, Barkley, I'd happily like to see Everton build a team around Barkley.
Yep.
Because I think he warrants it.
Personally, I feel like there's a certain Evertonian way of approaching football, and approaching team, and approaching club, and approaching people. All right, I think all this applies to the same thing, and I genuinely think Everton are not the type of club that should be catering to superstar mentality. I just don't think it's the type of place. I don't think it's the right mindset. You know, so
it's the people's club.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
You know. And so you look at a player like Nias, who's willing to, you know, run through a wall, but he, you know, his first touch is not so great.
He probably would run into a wall because of it.
You know, yeah, he probably would. And he's embodying, the spirit. You know, I don't know. I actually think it's a good move if they were screwing around during practice. I think it's the right move. You know, we actually just had the Toffee Blues Twitter account was exchanging tweets with George Green. Apparently, he follows the account, and he was saying some not so nice things about Unsworth because he clearly has some personal issues with him, you know. And I think he says that in the tweet storm that happened.
One thing I will say, and this isn't me trying to be some sort of in the know dick. I'm definitely not. It just so happens I was in circles, but I have heard off other players who's been under Unsworth at the youth level who have said similar things, actually, that they weren't actually big fans of him and actually really disliked him. So I do always think there's another side to the Unsworth coin that we don't see, because clearly put this way, there's been a few players I know who haven't been happy with him for whatever reason. So yeah, I did see George Green his comments last night, and it was quite interesting, just from what I've heard from other people as well.
It was another situation though where a lot of Evertonians came back and kind of started saying bad things about George Green's career and all that kind of stuff. And it was one of those things where I think they took offense to his overwhelming negativity towards Unsworth. But I know the Toffee Blues account was basically saying, hey, do you have a personal beef with him? And he said, yeah. You know, I feel like that's a smarter thing, is asking him why you're so negative instead of lashing out and saying
that's
things.
That's just the
internet. Yeah, it really is. It is totally the internet.
It's probably the same people that wanted Martina to be out for a long time.
Yeah, it might be, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Not nice.
Yeah, so anyway,
true fans.
Anyway, the funny thing is, he may actually be watching this video. So yeah, do well for Viking, George. Make it happen. Yeah. All right.
I've got nothing against you.
Still a fan of you, George. Good luck, mate.
So, but
the thing about
actually, the reason I mentioned that is because he thought that type of behavior was kicking those players out of practice is ridiculous. Okay. That's what I was actually. That was why I was moving around to that. That actually does come to Everton. And
I was just going to say the whole thing with this saying catering to superstars and all that. It's definitely not us. I mean, we've got sort of like not policies, but sort of like morale and respect for fans, and not like a lot of other clubs. Don't want to say any in particular, but like some clubs will see the club as a bit more of a business. The fact we've got a blue as the chairman is sort of bringing down the fact that, well, not bringing down, but bringing up the fact that we need to respect fans and respect, and the players need to have respect for the fans, because at the end of the day, we're the ones that are paying the money to them.
So I've got the fan comments about this. Cameron Barlow says, Schneiderlin has been a massive disappointment to me. A chap of his size and ability should be stamping his authority on every game. Instead, he gets early bookings and spends the rest of the game walking a tightrope. Morales, I feel a bit sorry for. He has the skill and pace to terrify anyone, but never, ever gets a good run of games. That's where the petulance creeps in. John Jones says, lack of discipline and respect from two seasoned professionals. Sell them both in January. And this is what George Green says, absolute ridiculous. Now, do you see my point? Two absolute ballers. I've seen enough. So, yeah. those are the fan comments about the situation. Right?
I still actually think he's wrong, though. Mm. You can't just kind of let anybody do what they want.
I agree too.
But that doesn't mean that we have to start abusing them and calling them all kinds.
Totally agree. We can disagree amicably.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You
know? So I think we've given this a lot of time. All right.
Too much time.
Yeah. Today, it's international break time. So that only means one thing to everybody else, because who's really into international games? Yeah, it's quiz time, just like every international break. And this time, we have a ringer. David's with us, unlike last
ding,
time.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. Last time, I think Edward and I put up a pretty solid fight, considering the fact that he's a younger fellow and considering the fact that I'm just some American, you know? So I think we did okay, but now... Now we've got David, who sort of knows all the history and is like a
shit. He's the demographic that we're not with at the minute.
This is complete unnecessary pressure that I need right now.
David is pretty much the best quiz taker you've ever seen in your life.
Now, do you reckon if this quiz was on stats...
Was that a lie?
If this quiz was on stats, he'd be nailing it.
That's right.
So we need to find one. We need to find one.
So if we don't get all of these, I mean, you can't expect us to, but him, yeah. All right. So
we're gonna throw the thing. You're gonna be so home.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. Here's the quiz. All right. It is another quiz from Sporkle.com. All right. This quiz was created by Gary Rowe 11. So, Gary Rowe 11, if you're out there and watching, we're taking your quiz, so you can mock us later, all right? The quiz, actually, what it contains is, can you name the Everton squad numbers from 2000 to present? And there's 250 of them, all right? So, what you have is you have a list of numbers, and we have to start, you know, get data entry start putting them in there. Data entry style, putting them in there. So we're all going to be on the same team, all right? So we're going to start playing all at the same time, and then whenever we get one correct, we're going to say it out loud so that so we can share our answers. It's like cheating on a test, essentially, because we do that. All right, so anybody have any questions? Are we good?
No, sir.
All right. So we are going to get going on this quiz. I'll give a countdown, and we'll push... Play at the same time. Ready?
Ready.
One. Oh, no, hold on. Sorry. I'll go 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
Robles. Howard.
Oh, wow. It's just entering the names. Cool. Yeah. Okay, well, I put in Robles and you said Howard as well. So, yeah. This makes it much easier than I thought.
Let's get the hard one out of the way. Banningi me.
All right,
old chair.
I was gonna say Mucha. All right. Stecklenburg.
No. Yeah. Stecklenburg Pickford.
How are we spelling Stecklenburg?
Oh yeah, so just so you know, I am the worst speller ever. Like,
Stecklenburg.
That goes out, gets read about 500 times.
Right, I'm going to Google this.
No, I got Stecklenburg right. Stekelenburg. So it's all E's except for the last syllable, which is U.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Edward, instead, Google Thomas Myra, please.
Okay, just give me a second.
Can we think of any other keepers?
So you've got Nigel Martin, Tim Howard, Paul Gerrard, Vesterveld. Is this about Wester or Best?
It's Westerveld.
How's it spelled?
WESTERVELD.
You're going to have to say all those names again because I've just missed every single one of them.
We didn't say that many, to be honest, please. Did you get Paul Gerrard?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Did you get Westerveld? Or Westerveld?
Westerveld.
How do you spell that?
Spelling. W-E-S-T-E-R-W.
Got it.
Okay, cool. Any other keepers you can think of?
Did you say someone... How did you say Stecklenburg was spelled?
S-T-E-K-E-L-E-N-B-U-R-G.
Richard Wright.
What'd you say?
Pickford.
Richard Wright. Oh, Pickford. Yeah. Obvious one.
Richard Wright, yeah.
And we're missing one keeper.
We should have one more number one. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did we check Thomas Myra? Spelling.
No, I didn't.
Alright, I'll do it now.
Okay. That would make sense, actually, for you to do that better.
Right, try M-Y-H-R-E.
M-Y-H-R-E. Yeah.
Got it.
He's not that one.
He's not the number
one. He's there, but he's not. He's number 35. So there's another number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, well, should we come back to it?
Should we start?
Right. Hibbert.
Hibbert.
Already got it.
Pistone. P-I-S-T-O-N-E.
Yep. Baines.
Got it.
Neville. Oh wait, he was a number two. We've got two other number twos.
Try Naismith, as in Gary Naismith.
Well, I've got Stephen Naismith. Naismith. Yeah, that's another probably, number three.
He'll still pop, yeah. Number two. What was Nuno Valente? Nuno.
Oh, he was 19.
Yeah, got it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Another number 19, Valencia.
Gotcha.
Another number two.
I'm thinking about. Oh yeah, did you say Lescott?
Yeah, he wasn't number two.
He was 5 and 16. Yeah.
John Stones.
Okay, we'll just put them in. Yeah, if someone says something, we'll just put them in. Even.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's kind of go with some basic stuff. Jags.
Jagielka.
Discan.
Do you guys try and focus mainly on the last 5 years? Now try and think of some obscure ones from maybe the
80s. That's a really good idea. That's a good system. All right.
Do that one.
Williams.
Key.
Funes Mori.
David Coleman. Weir.
Who'd you say?
David Weir. W-E-I-R. Yeah.
Got it.
Gotcha.
Stubbs. S-T-U-B-B-S.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alright, Gibson. Garbutt.
Richard Goff. G-O-U-G-H.
G-O-U-G-H. Gotcha.
B-O-U-G-H.
G-O-U-G-H.
Oh.
Alright. Galloway.
Lukaku.
Lee Tai.
How do you spell Tai? Is it? Oh, got it.
How is it?
T-I-E. Right.
Yeah, oh, got it.
I'm going to hit you with this one now because it's a hell of a spelling. Alexanderson. A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R-S-S-O-N.
Got it. Coleman.
Yeah.
Already got him.
Gemmel.
How do you spell that?
G-E-M-M-I-L.
Got.
No. Nope. Right. Yeah. Double L.
Got. No. Nope.
Gay. There's two.
G-E-M-M-E-L-L?
Yeah. G-E-M-M-I-L-L.
I-L-L. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Tim Cahill.
No, got I haven't it. Been putting any, yeah. Can haven't we... been putting any of the latest ones that you've been saying.
McBride, Ryan McBride.
Yeah, great player.
Joe
McClure.
Oh, Joe. Hang on.
Go back. How do you spell McBride?
M-C-B-R-I-D-E.
Right. Number six. Delafeu.
Okay, did you get six. More? Did you get Joe Max more?
What? How did you spell it?
Just more, M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah, it must have gone in there.
And you guys got Joe, J-O, right?
I have now.
I haven't got Max more. How'd you spell his
name? No, it's just... It just put more, yeah. Why? Right. Why am I... I'm forgetting, like, one of the best American players to play...
Donovan?
Yeah, Donovan, yeah. let's see here.
Kone. Sandro.
Nias.
Rooney.
We always wait till later with Rooney. I have no idea why.
Barkley.
I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to try and put a lot of the older ones in because I can't think and then input new ones as you use a token as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Morales. Can't believe we didn't know him.
Tal. T-A-L. Eden Tal.
Got it. Yeah. How do you spell Strakwalarsi?
Oh, man. Have a look.
Google that, man.
And also, someone needs to spell billion letters enough.
Billion enough. I've got it.
I don't know how to spell Strak. Okay, in the meantime... Niarco.
Niarco, yeah.
How do you spell Niarco?
N-Y-A-R-K-O.
N-Y-A-R-K-O.
Yeah.
Okay. Billyadinov. B-I-L-Y-A-L-E-T-D-I-N-O-V.
Got it.
Yeah, are you ready for Strakwalarsi?
Sure.
S-T-R-A-C-Q-U-A-L-U-R-S-I.
Got it. Cool. Alright.
You know, I'm just going to admit it. I cheated and Googled that.
Alright, so who are we forgetting? Pennington.
Yep. Yelovich.
Schlesberger.
I'd spell that one.
Jesus. Alright, I'll check.
Yeah.
Yelovich.
Yeah, got him. Oh, Anichibi.
HITZLSPERGER.
Say that again.
I lost you.
Okay. HITZLSPERGER.
Got it. All right.
Yes.
Let's see here.
13s. How many other 13s have we had? Can't have had many. I can't think of any recent.
What about Gay?
Is that a Drissa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who?
Say that again, both of you.
Xavier, it's X A B I E.
Oh, Xavier, yeah.
You went to Bill.
What about wasn't there another Gay that played with us, or did we already get that one?
Yeah, Makai Gay, he gets counted as well.
Okay, what about Francisco Jr.?
Yeah, I remember.
Yes,
him.
Yeah, he's on there.
I remember him.
Nick Bombi.
Bombi. Bombi. Bombi. Nope.
Yeah. No B A R M B Y. No, was he not there then?
No, not Bombi spelled like that.
No. It sounds silly. Have we put Unsworth in?
No.
Okay.
Is Ebril on there?
Ferguson.
Ebril's good stuff.
I don't know.
Right, Abaginale.
So Ebril's not. Is that right?
Yeah. Ferguson is.
Yeah, I got him.
The last name's right. I'll just put it myself.
What was the one you just said, David? The long one?
David Ginola.
Ginola, yeah.
Ginola, yeah. G-I-N-O-L-A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Cool. Gascoigne as well should be in there.
No.
Yes.
Not how I'm spelling him.
G-A-S-C-O-I-G-N-E.
Hang on, what? G-A-S-C.
C-O-I-G-N-E.
It's weird spelling.
Right. Is Lineker on there?
No.
No.
He won't be.
Richard Dunne. D-U-N-N-E.
Gotcha.
Am I catchy?
No, we should be two. Yeah. Leon Osman, have we got him?
Nope.
Bessage we've got.
Yes.
Oh,
McCarthy.
Barry.
Sigurdsson.
Of course.
Yeah. Try Don Hutchinson.
Is it Hutchinson?
Yeah, it is.
Nope. No. Not how I'm spelling it, anyway.
Me either. I spelled it two different ways.
Alright, put Jefferson.
Jeffers.
Jeffers was in.
Jeffers, sorry, yeah.
Okay. Let's see here.
Another number eight.
Yeah, sorry, I think that's period.
Browning.
Was Kenny? Fellaini.
What was the one you said, Jerry?
Kenny. Was Chris Long in there?
I don't know. He haven't got it done with it, I'm not sure.
Jones.
There is a
Jones,
Long in there,
Jones.
Yes.
Jones.
Yak. Andy Johnston.
Okay.
Arteta.
Got him.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Carsley.
Gravesen.
Kevin Kilbane.
Of course. Campbell.
What is his name?
Simon Davis.
How do you spell
it? Davies.
Yeah, we should get a few Davies there.
What's the name of the little Dutch winger who had a bad attitude, work rate wasn't great?
Drenthe?
Yes!
Drenthe. What about 2003 when we were terrible?
You're forgiven if you can't remember any of the names, man.
They were dark days. What else can we remember before? Are we still looking for number two?
I've no idea for that one.
Steve Watson.
Got it.
Yeah. There's one after him. One before Gibson and after Stubbs. Five. After Lescott, we've got Williams, Stones. Distan? Did we have Distan?
Yeah. I said him earlier.
Yeah, he wasn't number five. Who was number five before Stones? Oh, it was, this is annoying. I should know. Come on, Edward.
Well, Hughes, then Marty waiting. Hughes.
Got it.
Of course.
This is going to annoy me. I should know that.
Traore.
Yeah.
Of course, Traore. Number five, four stones.
Spelling.
It's going to really annoy me that.
Come
at the centre backs.
Lennon.
Yeah, Lennon.
Hey, Coldrup.
Got it. Hold
on. I'll just do Coldrup.
K O L D R U P, I think.
No.
No.
And
okay.
It's not two P's either. I don't know. No.
Oh, this thing is going to really annoy me for number five. I know who it is.
Oh, it's Kroldrup, so it's K-R-O-L-D-R-U-P.
Yeah, got him.
Got it. I'm trying to think of this year's team, because we're missing people from this season's team. There's no reason to.
Have you got the likes of Williams and all that in?
Yeah. What about, Bolasie.
Bolasie, yeah. Coleman and all them.
Yeah. Who are we forgetting this season's team?
Right, okay.
Lookman.
Of course. Yeah, Calvert-Lewin.
Okay.
Have we got Yobo?
Nope. We do now.
Yeah, he was the number four.
Oh, Haitinga.
Haitinga. Yeah. Charles.
Right, that's gonna really annoy me, that number five. I know who it is.
Vlasic. Klaassen.
Right, I'll run through the numbers that we have for this season. So, 1 Pickford, 2 Schneiderlin, 3 Baines, 4 Keane, 5 Williams, 6 Jagielka, 7 Bolasie, 8 Barkley, 9 Sandro, 10 Rooney, 11 Morales, 12 Lennon, no 13, 14 we haven't got, 15 Martina.
Nice.
And Cleverley. 16 McCarthy, 17 Gay, 18 Sigurdsson and Barry.
James, by the way. James McFadden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Vaughn.
Vaughn, yeah, good show.
Vaughn. Okay.
Who? McGeady, yeah.
McGeady.
Yelovich.
What's the name of the guy who we. I forget his name every time, but we sold him to Man City and now he plays for Sunderland.
Rodwell.
Yes. Rodwell. I always forget his name.
Did we got James BC?
Who?
James BC.
Oh.
Nope. Right. Okay, no. I'm just going to think. Hang on.
I can't get his spelling.
Right,
B-E-A-T-T-I-E.
Coleman, 23.
We only have 1 minute left, by the way. 1 minute, guys.
25, Funes Mori, 26. Todd Davies, 27. Vlasic, 28. We don't have a number 28. 29, Calvert-Lewin, 30. Holgate!
Yes!
31, Lookman, 32. 33, Robles. 34, 43, Kenny.
Thomas Brzezinski. He's not far from you, Jerry.
Canada. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not even...
I just spelled that.
I'll get it off you, keep thinking.
That number five is going to really piss me off because I know who it is.
Okay, Rad. RadZinski.
Got it.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. No. I haven't been able to spell it right.
Oh, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Eto, that was it.
How many did we get?
Not nearly enough. I got 155, so I missed.
Oh my god. Gascoigne was in there.
Yes.
Dow.
How did we forget? I mean, we forget a lot of silly stuff, guys.
I got 158.
Samuel Eto. Oh.
That was the one I was pissed off with. I knew it.
This is ridiculous. Guys, we gotta do better.
Pienaar! We forgot Pienaar.
This is the second straight time we forgot Pienaar, by the way. Second straight time.
Michael Ball.
Absolute names in here. Well, Alec Cleland never would have got him. Nick Chadwick should have got him.
Connor McElhinney should have gotten him.
Andrew Rodriguez.
Lundstrom. Alcaraz. I mean, these are names we should have.
Oh, Danny Tadamastri, what a player.
Beckford, Graveson. Velios.
McElhinney.
You know, I actually think we got more answers last time.
John Paul Kissock. Well, remember him?
No, that's not true.
Yeah. Kieran Dell.
No, we got way higher percentage. We got 62% this time.
We did
do better this time. David, that's the David factor. That's how it works.
Did we do better or worse?
Better, I think. I think we did better.
Okay.
Because I think this was 62%. I think last time we had like 53% in a different quiz. Yeah. A very similar setup.
For the other one.
I mean, by the way, Jerry, you said Chris Long, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I added him in.
Oh, Ryan Edson, what a nightmare there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... We missed... Oh, you know what? I should have remembered Leandro Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too recent.
Yeah, we've missed some belters here.
Yeah, Lewis Saha.
I mean, I never perform well under pressure, so that's my excuse.
No, you know what, though? We just need to be doing these more often because, you know, I know I'm remembering, I'm learning more names from last time. Yeah. So I think I will lay down the gauntlet and say the next time we do one of these, we are going to do better than we just did.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that, all right?
And if we don't, we owe you all a Pringle. Or a toffee mint. Let's make it relatable, a toffee mint.
But that's it for our quiz. Yeah, we did not completely embarrass ourselves, which is cool. And with the end of the quiz comes the end of the big show. All right? If you've been listening via podcast, thank you so much. We still love you. We're going to keep loving you. All right? Yeah. Subscribe to our podcast. Rate it if you can. We certainly appreciate it. If you're digging the videos, subscribe to our channel, people. We'd appreciate it. All right, we're gunning hard to keep growing right now. Now's a good time to watch a fan channel. Check out Edward's channel, Jam E James. Details are below. All kinds of match day vlogs, FIFA videos,
please.
And you know, spoken word. He speaks the word of poetry. Okay. I wonder if people are actually believing me, Edward. They're going to you for poetry. They're like, what's this match day crap? So
telling us in the comments, Jerry lied.
You lied. I was expecting haiku. So there's also David, all right? He's just got so many articles out there. I don't even know where to tell you to start.
Yeah,
Type
his name and you'll find something.
Yeah, Google.
Yes, a lot of them are on the Toffee Blues website. Speaking of that, you should go to the Toffee Blues website. There's match previews, match reactions, and just basic Everton-based stuff, all right? Also, you should check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You should write them a letter via snail mail. I don't have their address. So, anyway, I guess that's it. Edward, thanks so much. David, thanks so much, guys. We're feeling good today. It's nice to feel good after a big win.
Peace out.
All right.
Adios.
Have a good international break. We'll see you later. Bye.